Rechandaveganu chara. Puranjana puram yada. Hartumare bire tatra. Pratyasedat prayagara. Prachesadat prayagadaha Tachandaveganuchara Puranjana puram yada Artumare bire tatra Prachesadat prayagadaha Matlis, please. Tejandavekanu charaha Puranjana puram yada Hartumare bire tatra Pratyasedat prayagaraha Tejandavekanu charaha Puranjana puram yada Hartumare bire tatra Prajasedat prayagaraha Techandave gunachara Puranjana puram yada We will do the word-for-word translation. Please repeat. Te. All of them. Chandavega. Of Chandavega. Anucharaha. Followers. Puranjana. Of King Puranjana. Puram. City. Yada. When. Hartum. To plunder. Arebire begun. Tatra there. Sorry. Oh, Krishna. Yeah, okay. Arebire. Begun. Tatra, there. Pratyasidat, defended. Prayagahara, the big serpent. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When King Kandarvaraj, Chandavega, and his followers began to plunder the city of Puranjana, a snake with five hoods began to defend the city. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one is sleeping, the life air remains active in different dreams. The five hoods of the snake indicate that the life air is surrounded by five kinds of air known as prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. When the body is inactive, the prana or the life air is active. Up to the age of 50, one can actively work for sense gratification. But after the 50 year, one's energy decreases. Although one can with great strain work for 2 or 3 more years, perhaps up to the 55 year, thus the 55 year is generally taken by government regulations as the final year for retirement. The energy that is fatigued after 50 years is figuratively described herein as a serpent with 5 hoods. I will also read the next verse, text 16. The 5-hooded serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Puranjana, fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them, although they numbered 720. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how we come to the number of 720. The 360 days, there are also 360 nights combined to become the 720 soldiers of Kandavega time. One has to fight these soldiers throughout one's lifespan, beginning with birth and ending with death. This fight is called the struggle for existence. Despite this struggle, however, the living entity does not die, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:20. The living entity is eternal. Nayaya te mriyate fakadeshin nayam butva bhavita na fajabuya ayonicha sasvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane karir charir. Translation: for the soul that is never birthed nor dead, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, born, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. That is the slain. He is not slain when the body is slain. Srila Prabhupada immediately is explaining here in this purport that the soul, we are not going to die. I remember when I was a very small child, I was very much afraid to die. Because even in my in family, some old people die, my grandpa, my grandmother, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand when why people are coming to this world anyways, and why we have to die. But later on, when I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, and the first thing that Prabhupada was explaining in Bhagavad Gita, that we are eternal, we are not going to die. It was such a relief. And I was thinking, deep inside, I always have known this. That's why it was so difficult to accept that we are going to die. But Prabhupada was not only explaining that we are eternal and that we are not going to die, but he was also explaining that we are a soul, and that the soul is eternal. And the only means what is going to die is this material body. And here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is very much explaining immediately already, every night and every day, our life air is going away and we are dying a little bit, every day a little more. We come closer and closer to death. Even when we have taken birth, die is already working on us. Even we don't notice it, but because we have a certain time of prana, prana is life air, coming with us when we come to this world. And when the life air, the prana, is finished, then the soul has to leave the body. Even when he is in a very healthy condition, then some accident is happening, or some very unusual thing is happening. For example, an earthquake, or some tsunami, or something else. That doesn't matter. When the prana is finished, what we have received from the Lord, then actually life is finished. And most of the time, we become sick, we become older, and we have to die, we have to give up this material body. But sometimes, even very in young age, we have to leave the body. And that's very difficult for people. But life air is very important. I was just going to Holland, and I was visiting one of my friends, and she is in a hospital. She has a very serious lung disease. She has never smoked in her life. She is 57 years old. and she has a very severe bug on her lungs, and the doctors are trying everything to help her, but it is impossible. This now, they told her in the hospital, she is on a machine, she has things in her nose, and all the time they have to put a machine on, that at least she can breathe a little bit. It's extremely painful to see that, because we don't know how long it will take that this friend of me has to breathe like this. Now they will send her to a house where she can do some revalidation. But she said, Rupa Manjari, there is no revalidation. Because the hospital told me there is nothing what they can do for her anymore. Then she said, because there is no other place to go, they sent me to a revalidation center. But she said, I don't know for how long I will stay there. And we were talking about that, and we were talking, and I was listening to her, and she had such wonderful realizations, and she was sharing this with me, and I will share it with you. She said, Rupa Manjari, maybe I'm not perfect. I have made many mistakes in my life, but still, Krishna is extremely merciful, that at least He let me have the association of his disciples and his devotees. While she was in the hospital, quite serious, she was in a room with two persons. Next to her was an older lady who was also breathing very heavily and going to die. And actually, 2 days later, this lady left her body. I only express this to make it aware how serious his situation is. But she said, the lady next to me had the TV on, and I was just chanting and looking at the screen. And finally, she said, believe it or not, I saw the Hare Krishnas on the TV. And she said, and I became in ecstasy, and I was thinking, my God, here I am, almost dying in the hospital, and there is Radha Das on the screen. Just immediately she took her little thing and put her screen on also, and she saw the last part from the program what was on TV a few weeks ago. She said, I felt so overwhelmed with emotions that I felt, even here I am not a great devotee, I am not big in any way. Here I am in the hospital, maybe I'm going to die very soon, and Krishna's giving me darshan. She said, I saw Radha Gopinath. She said, I saw the devotees, and I was extremely happy. The next day, I got her telephone call, and she wanted to share these feelings and this gratefulness what she received from the Lord. She wanted to share that with me, and we spoke a little bit. And I said, do you like that I am going to visit you? She said, when you are coming, next week, in a few days, I will visit a few family members, and I will also come to the hospital. And she said, oh, that will be great, that will be so nice. Of course, I brought Mahaprasadam for her, for Radha Gopinath. And I also spoke with her very intimate. Because in the past, something happened in her spiritual life, but I found a little bit difficult to cooperate with. And that was why for some years there was some distance between her and me. Also because of circumstance that I was actually in the position that I have to stand back a little bit. But now, she is so sick. I felt the urge to apologize to her that a few years ago that I did that. Because it was maybe not really necessary when I was a little bit more Krishna consciousness. And she said, Rupa Manjari, don't apologize. She said, because it was also from my side that I took a little distance from the devotees. But she said, I'm so happy that we now here, that we can talk about. That means a serious talk between Krishna, who is in the center, and we as friends. I got some nice realization because of this. Because it is never too late when something happened in our life that we apologize or that we make excuses. Sometimes the situation can be a little bit tense, especially when you are living in a commune. But we have to realize we have to die very soon. And maybe we are thinking, I'm still quite young and I'm not going to die. I'm in my charge, I become 85, I still have 60 years more. But we don't know. Maybe Krishna wants to take us back more earlier. We never know. I want to read a very nice story what I found in my file. And I like to share that with you. The father was giving advice to two of his sons. Both they were raised up in the same way. The father was very loving to both of his sons. And he gave both of his sons the same instruction. Or at least, not an instruction, but advice. And I want to share with you what every person did with this advice. We have the choice to make our own decisions and take responsibility for that. Please bear with me when I read the story. Father's advice. The story is as follows. In Jagannathapuram, there was a person by name Raghunatham. He was humble, noble, and never cheated anyone in his business dealings. He came up in life in an honest manner with great struggle and acquired some cultivation land and built a good house. He had two sons. The elder son's name was Ramesh and the younger one was Suresh. As a good father, Raghunatham ensured good education and taught them ethics and good culture. Elder son gained expertise in cultivation of land, whereas the younger one became expert in business. At the proper time, Raghunatham arranged for the marriage ceremony of both the sons, and they led a peaceful combined family life. One day, Raghunatham called both of his sons to give some confidential advice as his last word. My dear boys, you know very well about my struggle days. They were very difficult indeed. How I toiled hard to get you both good education, land, and a house. I know that my life is coming to an end, and I would like to give you my final advice. Please always ensure to keep the association of a best friend, best well-wisher, and the dear most object. This is my final word to you. Don't forget my word. Both the sons heard the father's advice and kept it safely in their hearts. After some time, Raghunatham left his body and reached heavenly abode. After the father's departure, the younger son pursued business, ventures, and went to long distance, whereas the elder son continued his agriculture activities. Taking father's advice to full consideration, he chose one best friend for constant association. He considers father-in-law as the best well-wisher and treated his younger son as the dear most object in the world. Very soon he came to know that the so-called best friend cheated him by swindling money. The so-called best well-wisher tactfully absorbed some property, and the dear most object, because of special treatment, became impudent. Ramesh was aghast with these references, but did not find any fault with father's advice. He felt that there was some problem within him and wanted to give one more try. For the second time, he elected another set of best friend, best well-wisher, and the dear most object. Once again, he failed to get good results. However, he tried for the third time and ultimately became totally disturbed to get fatal results. In this process, he lost most of his wealth and healthy family life in chaotic condition, and he led a morose life. It is almost 5 years past since his younger brother left the hometown for new business ventures. Ramesh did not get an opportunity to meet his brother for all these years. He immediately decided to meet his brother now and narrate his sad story to him to get some solace and advice. He went to his place and was surprised to see the opulence and cheerful mood of his brother. He at once embraced his younger brother and felt very happy to see him. However, Suresh was astonished to see the pitiable condition of his elder brother and asked the reason for the same. Dear Suresh, I followed father's advice in total, and the result is the present pitiable condition. I have lost my wealth, health, farming, family, and I am now totally disturbed. It seems you have not followed the father's advice, he said to his brother. Hence, you are very happy and prosperous. Anyway, I'm happy to see that at least you are happy, he told his brother. When Suresh heard his brother's words, immediately said, no, 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 I have fully followed our father's advice. All my opulence, happiness and peace are only due to my following of father's advice sincerely. Ramesh was surprised to hear this and said, how is it possible? Please explain to me in detail the facts. Dear brother, I took the real meaning of father's advice and acted accordingly. As per Srimad Bhagavatam, the good health is the best friend. I immediately adopted good health practices and took the full advantages of best friends association. I consider a pure devotee of the Lord as the best well-wisher, and accordingly, I started intimate association with devotees. In their constant association, I fully realized that the dear most object in this world is Lord Sri Krishna. In this way, my entire family and myself are totally healthy, both physically and mentally. We are really enjoying the life by fully adopting to father's service. Ramesh immediately understood his mistake in misunderstanding the father's advice. He sincerely asked for the guidance of his younger brother to adopt his way of life, to put the life back again on tracks. With the guidance of his brother, he took also to Krishna consciousness life and led a happy life. I found this story very much comparing to the first today, because there is so much struggle in this material world, and it is very important that we understand that our time is limited. And because our time is limited, it is easy for me, because I'm a little older, and I'm far over the half of my life. I only have maybe a few years left by Krishna's grace. And I hope in the association of devotees that on the time when I have to breathe out my last prana, that the devotees will be there and that they can help me with chanting Hare Krishna, and that I be able to take shelter completely on Krishna's lotus feet. I also want to read one little verse first, what is very, very nice, and I want to share that with you also. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kafibiriritam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam shrimatattatam bhuvikrinantiye buridayana. The translation. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. This is a song from the gopis when they pray to Lord Krishna. And we are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada is such a great saint and such a great sage who brought us in contact with Krishna consciousness to translating and to giving us all this beautiful nectar and these books. And we are all followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The other story what I was reading about these two brothers is years ago told by Gaura Govinda Maharaj. You can find it on Dandavat. When you are looking for the story, you can find it there. Thank you very much for listening so patiently. And when there is some question or some comment, please do so. That was not really what we could discuss with her, because a few years ago she left ISKCON. But for me, it was not an obstacle to just visit her anyways. This, we were not talking about ISKCON. We were also not talking about her step she made in her life. But we could do better. And that's my personal feelings. At least I could have done better towards her. And I hope with this visit that I make it up. And I will keep in contact with her. And who knows what Krishna wants from us. But in general, Prabhu, I have the feelings that we can do much better. Not only for the devotees who are sick or in need, but also for the devotees who are healthy and want some association or some good advice. And I think we can do better. And I speak for myself. I can do better. And I try to improve. And with Krishna's grace, maybe something is happening. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Also, when I joined, she was there. And okay, you know, circumstance has made that we are disconnected. But she said, Rupa Manjari, I was asked not to come to Radhades anymore. She said, it's not Radhades' fault. I was preaching about. And she said, I shouldn't have done that. You know, just was nice that we could clear up things, you know, and also see our responsibility, you know, for the decisions we make.